Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Well, top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris on a snowy Wednesday morning. Yeah. Drive safely if you're out there today. Winter storm warning.
A snow day for most everybody who had school scheduled today.
Todd, did you get school canceled?
School doesn't start till the 17th. However, I did get a phone call at 5:35 saying that the offices were closed today.
Ah.
So that's nice.
In case you just wanted to go down and, you know, pay some fees or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. So he's got snow days. He's got 10 more, 12 more.
Well, we started getting, I think it was about 4:45, we started getting calls from school districts this morning. Mostly ones... Canyon County and outside of Ada County, and then gradually it started to move in, and CUNA was closed, and then the West Ada School District, and finally the Boise School District was closed, and that all only took about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Just one at a time, they all call in.
We've been talking to Curtis Steigers, who is in Denmark this morning. Curtis is really, really upset. I mean, major upset that nobody's plowing his roads in the North End.
Why is he that upset, considering he's in Denmark?
Well, his family.
Oh, okay.
Know?
Well, yeah, that
he's
makes
got
sense.
Got a daughter.
Okay.
And
okay.
A significant other. Linda replied to Curtis, who is really angry because the North End hasn't been plowed once.
Oh, well, by the way, my street hasn't either, but...
Yeah. Nor mine.
It never has, really.
She says ACHD has kept main roads plowed, but no subdivision or side roads. Haven't seen salt on bridges either.
Yeah.
And then Bronco Dave and Curtis Steigers liked that tweet. And Kurt says, thanks for the info. Then another guy jumps in and says, my association paid to have one street, the main one, done. So it was done by private people. No sign of ACHD. ACHD put something out last week saying no neighborhoods would be plowed. In fact, I was off last week, but I did hear that on one of the news saying no neighbor. They just don't have the resources.
Yeah, I was
3,000 miles of roads.
Yeah,
in
at least I was headed down in Fairview this morning, right about 4 o'clock. And pretty much every other parking lot down Fairview had somebody plowing their snow.
All private guys.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They all were. And most, a lot of them just on regular small cars, but they had, you know, a shovel or what do they call that on the front.
Plow.
Yeah, the plow on the front.
Yeah.
And I guess if you can fix up almost any vehicle to do that, I'm thinking a heavy vehicle might be better at it.
Well, I saw like... you know, these vehicles you take up in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, what do they call ATVs? Yeah.
All-terrain
vehicles.
Right.
A lot of those are working in the parking lots. And my brother-in-law, actually, over in Middleton, does some parking lots. It's a problem. But there's too many roads. And what's his name? Chuck Quintana from ACHD. I saw him on one of the newsies, and he basically said, can't do it. I mean, we feel bad about it, but we can't do it. And they're going, well, why can't you do it? And he said, because this is a very unusual snow event.
Oh, it is.
It would not be possible for us to maintain and have that many snow plows when we would use them once every seven years.
And we were talking about this the other day.
This is the most snow since 1983,
People call the Ada County Highway District, and they complain about every single road that I think exists in Ada County. The freeway, the federal government is in charge of that. and Eagle Road and State Street and probably a couple others, maybe Chinden. The state's in charge of those because those are state highways. But then
State Street is also state. You said state.
But then the county's in charge of pretty much all the other ones.
Yeah, and there are lots and lots of miles of road.
But yeah, I mean they probably don't have the resources to plow every single neighborhood and every single side street.
I went up to Dave Harbison's. You know, a lot of people say, well, they just plow the rich neighborhoods. It's not true. Not true at all. Harbison lives up in the Highlands in a very nice neighborhood with snow up to his butt. I mean, it is. I thought I had it bad.
You know those Highlanders, they're tough.
Well, I tell you what, they got to be tough to get in and out of their drivers. I went up there to watch the Boise State game. It was unbelievable. I thought our roads were bad. Mm-hmm. KBOI News Time is 8:45. That is, without a doubt, my favorite bumper of all time.
Oh, that. I don't want to work. I just want to
bang on my drum all day.
Yeah.
Kind of where I am. Let's go to Tom of Boise. Tom, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning. Hello, Tom.
This isn't Tom.
Oh, sorry about that.
What's your name?
My name's Matt.
Oh, hi, Matt.
How's it going?
That's good.
I was just calling to let you know there's another accident between Meridian and Eagle Road on the interstate eastbound. Slide off on the left side of the road. Looks like two cars involved.
All right, heading toward Boise, huh?
Correct. Two ISP troopers are on the scene, but it's really, really slow, probably 10 miles an hour passing it.
All right, let me ask you a question. What's it like on the interstate, except for the accident?
White.
White, yeah.
Very white. I only go between Meridian and Eagle. I get off at Eagle and take that down into town, but it was definitely very slow. Take your time. Saw one guy spin out just in that same area. He recovered, though, so it's very slick.
All right, so drive safely, leave early, right?
Yeah, I'm giving myself an hour to get to work, but normally takes me 20 minutes.
There you are. Good stuff. Thank you, Matt. So. Good stuff. All right. What happened to Tom?
I think he hung up because I was getting ready to answer the phone, then you put that caller on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was nice talking to Matt.
The phone
Yeah.
It was nice to talk to Matt anyway.
That was pretty quick, yeah. Thanks, Matt.
Welcome, Matt.
Yeah. Get off the floor, man. No, this is such a strange storm, and this is the most snow we've had.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about snow for another 4 or 5 minutes. But
we were talking to Bob Beeler yesterday, and he says he's been here 10 and a half years now.
Which seems ludicrous.
Yeah, I'm like, really? You've been here that long? But he said he's been here 10 and a half years, and he's never seen the snow even close to this.
Yeah, well, this is ties the record for the most snow back to 1985, which is officially at the airport 10 inches. Now, I showed you the pair. I didn't show it to you, did I? Of my front patio, which has 15 inches of snow.
Yeah, you showed it to me. The snow was on your, you've got a little table out there on the patio.
Yep.
Little patio set and stuff. And on your table, it looked like it was about a foot and a half.
Yeah.
Of just stacked up snow.
And that's exactly what it was. And I took a bunch of pictures driving in this morning, which probably wasn't smart. But
And at our house, we have got just
something, huh?
We have got icicles everywhere. So I'm kind of really glad I didn't clean that gutter.
Hang on, I'm going to hold this picture up to the microphone. See, that's a lot of snow, huh?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Okay.
Here, I'll do.
I showed this picture.
I'll do some sound effects.
How much snow does it look like there is in this picture? About 15 inches, right?
Yeah, about 2 feet worth.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
it's really a stack of snow.
So this morning I show it to Rick, and what did he say?
He said, that looks like 4 inches, yeah.
Come on, Rick.
Yeah. The man with confidence.
It's our news guy.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, be careful. And as far as the plowing thing, this plowing thing, we went on Twitter this morning on this plowing thing for forever. And Curtis Stigers thought there was some, like, big thing against him and his family. I don't know
Yeah. I have to tell you, whatever the ACHD does or does not do, I never take it personally.
Somebody went by and plowed our road, which could be like a semi-main arterial type thingy, because they put the whatever that stuff is that melts the snow, they put that on it. And, you know, glad they're not plowing your street, because they plowed me in. You know, the big thing in front of my driveway.
Yeah, and that happens in residential neighborhoods. Sometimes if they do, you know, run down there with the big road graders or whatever, that they plow the snow, and all the cars are suddenly under, well, snow.
There's no way my wife's getting her car out, but I have a four-wheel drive, Snowway.
Exactly.
I have a four-wheel drive, so I flattened it down and, you know, can get in and out pretty good now. Mm-hmm. But, it snowed 4 or 5 inches. Today.
Well, and yesterday, I was trying to remember.
Let's quickly go to Richard.
I was trying to remember who I was asking. It was Alexa.
Yeah. Richard, what's going on? We got about a minute.
Well, I just was thinking about back in the 70s when we were having this kind of snow, what the ACHD or whatever the government agency was at that time did is that they hired the private contractors. These guys out here with graders and plows and stuff. That are just sitting because they can't operate, and they just contracted them to get out of the subdivision. They don't have to buy millions of dollars of equipment.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. Thanks for the call, and he's right. I do remember that. I was here then. It's 8:56. We will be back with more after this, and thanks for the call. I wonder why they can't use private contractors. Okay, I just thought of the answer. No budget. My headline yesterday on Nate's show was Congress being sworn in. Tomorrow we can start swearing at him.
Yeah, that's about how it works.
Yep.
Well, and you notice yesterday we talked about the fact that they had voted kind of in a secret meeting before the session even started to get rid of the ethics office.
That whole thing kind of fell apart on them, didn't
apparently,
it?
Apparently, this was a surprise to them that people would think that wasn't a good thing.
Including President-elect Trump.
For them to get rid of the Office of Ethics that keeps track of them. Now, granted, it only has existed 8 years. But apparently after 8 years, they want to get rid of it. Now, why?
Yeah.
Please explain.
Yeah.
But they rescinded it yesterday.
Yeah. It wasn't accepted... embraced, embraced like they thought it would be.
And the thing is, they've always had a committee, an ethics committee, that they check themselves. However, about 8 years ago, people said, you know, there are enough scandals that really it kind of seems like they're not checking themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Day after the Republicans took their first step toward dismantling Obamacare, President Obama huddled today with congressional Democrats, those he could find, to strategize on ways to preserve at least parts of his signature health law. And I think parts of it will be kept. Don't you?
Well, and even Trump said that. He didn't say that he was going to simply scrap the whole thing. He said he was going to keep the good parts and get rid of the bad parts.
Yeah. President arrived mid-morning on Capitol Hill for a strategy session as Vice President-elect Mike Pence was set to meet with GOP lawmakers to discuss how to repeal and how to replace the Affordable Care Act. The separate sessions came on the second day of the new GOP-led Congress.
And Pence, of course, is trying to make sure that everybody is on the same page here.
Yes. In 16 days, Republican Donald Trump replaces Obama at the White House, putting the party's longtime goal of annulling much of the 2010 health care overhaul within reach. But Trump, despite his campaign vows to repeal the law, warned his colleagues this morning, not to let Democrats off the hook for a program he called a disaster. And then there's a whole bunch of tweets here
from
Trump.
What was it? The failed Obamacare disaster?
Yeah.
Massive premium increases. Right.
In that the Dems own the failed Obamacare disaster with its poor coverage and massive premium increases.
Well, and he said, too, Trump tweeted that deductibles are so high that it's practically useless. And again, You know, it's not that it's completely useless. It's just that the only thing it seems that we're being insured against is disaster. You know, so you don't go bankrupt and have to pay, you know, $100,000 for an operation or something.
Yeah.
But as far as you know, having it completely taken care of when you go into, you know, get checked for a cold, no, you're going to have to pay a deductible for quite a while.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the phones. Craig Quintana from ACHD is on the line.
Oh, good.
And he's going to explain a little bit.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
How you doing, Craig?
Good morning, Craig. Explain to us exactly how ACHD chooses which roads to plow, which not to plow. There's been a lot of rhetoric back and forth this morning on that.
Sure, and understandable given the storm event. If you guys hadn't heard, I guess it's been upgraded. We're now anticipating 7 inches total in this this event. So the priority is, you know, what you can't hit me everywhere at once. So where do you go first? And we have a pretty clear kind of triage. We hit the arterial roads, the big roads that everybody needs to get on at some point. To get where they're needing to go, the collector roads, those are the mid-sized ones that, you know, kind of connect you from your local street to those main drags. And then we hit the big intersections, overpasses, obviously, you know, overpasses and bridges you got to avoid underneath so you can have a real icing issue. Areas around hospitals, fire stations, railroad crossings, school crossings, and then streets with a grade of over 6% obviously present some concern to us for the risk of slide-offs. And we're hitting those as hard as we can. We've got every piece of equipment that we can put out there, and we've brought in six graders from contractors to help out our crews, and we're just hitting those main priorities as hard as we can, as quickly as we can.
Yeah, I saw one of those on 27th the other day, and I thought, well, that's a good idea. That's a very, you know, well-traveled street.
Yeah, and, you know, and so we've been taking some buckshot recently from folks who say, you know, why aren't you plowing the road out in front of my house. Yeah,
in my neighborhood, right.
Exactly. And it's just a straight-up numbers game. You know, we've got 1,000 lane miles of arterial roads, those big ones, the Fairviews and what have you. We've got another 500 miles of those collector streets, the mid-sized roads.
Right.
And then we've got 3,000-plus lane miles of neighborhood streets out in front of everyone's home. And it's a matter of, you know, how can we get there and make sure that we've insured the safety on the really big roads that we know at some point everybody has to get on. And so if you can't be everywhere at once, you hit the places where you're going to do the most good. And that's our approach.
So you have answered one of the questions that was floated out there. Now, why don't you, you know, contract with people who have equipment to help you out? And you're doing that.
Yeah, we've got the biggest fleet going, but we you know, don't feel any shame about bringing in help. Excuse me. The problem is some of those contractors, they have contracts, and they're gonna serve their normal customers first, and come to us on an as-is basis.
Now, how about budgets and things like that? Obviously, it's very expensive. Probably more expensive than what you'd budget for, right?
Yeah, well, but this is early in our budget season. The budget starts on October 1st, and so we kind of, I mean, we don't scrimp on our response just because, you know, we want to keep the bottom line as tidy as possible. Typically, we've spent about $2 million a year on snow response, and that's primarily in equipment costs and materials costs and overtime. You know, our folks are already working, although they go into 12 on, 12 off, 24-hour operations during times like this, and they've been that way for like the last month. But essentially, you know, we're going to put out as much as we need to get the job done. The question it becomes as a policy matter, does it make sense to spend that extra level of funds to get out into those neighborhood streets where it's going to cost a lot more? Because you can't just push the snow off to the side in a neighborhood. You're going to have to haul it away to boot. And so it's a kind of a more complicated logistical task than some folks might be thinking going in.
Yeah, a lot more to it than just plowing the roads and putting the snow in the river, right?
Exactly. You know, and so we already had to augment our response this year with another $500,000. We're going to be well above that $2 million for the season, you know, and we're not even close to being done yet. But we're going to spend what we need to spend to get those main roads in good shape, and then hit as many of those trouble spots in the neighborhoods as we can. Now, we're not going to promise, that we're going to get out and do all those 3,000 lane miles within neighborhoods. But if folks have concerns about problem spots, say, like, the interface of trying to get out onto the big road from their subdivision, there's, like, a little hill, they can't get up it, it's icy, it's what have you, give us a call, and we'll try and evaluate it and treat it in the most effective way we can, given those limitations that, obviously, we're not going to plow all 3,000 neighborhood lane miles.
Yeah, good stuff. Craig, thanks for checking in with us.
Thanks, guys.
Greg Quintana from the ACHD, KBOI News Time, 9:15.
KBOI News Time is 9:21. Idaho Talks Live, Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider. And our rewards code for today.
Let me guess. Oxford.
No, it starts with a sn.
Oh, snew.
Snow.
So yeah, don't.
I'm not telling you there's snow word today. We do have a word, and the word is snow.
S-N-O-W.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because we looked out front, and we're trying to come up with something creative, and that's and that's all we saw.
Yeah, snow. Let's go to Steve of Boise. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. You know, I've been complaining about Obamacare for years, and here's what
happens. Yes, you have.
When you get people who finally get a program that will take care of them, they overwhelm the system.
Yeah.
And they will go in for everything. It's, it's almost the same thing as having only the hospitals to take care of you. The hospitals will overwhelm.
Yeah.
When you put the insurance in charge of that, the insurance company is going to be overwhelmed.
You know, your philosophy of essentially taking care of yourself and your own family, and it's everybody's personal responsibility.
Yeah.
That works pretty well, except that there are a whole lot of people that don't seem to understand that.
Well, and that's where education comes into play, and that's what we should be teaching our kids from day one, is not to be dependent, but to be independent.
Sure.
Yeah, and I'm a fairly independent guy and like to pay my own way and stuff, but I was reading a thing the other day. You know how when you get to be our age, Steve, you look at stuff on retirement stuff. And the thing told me that in my average, whatever, however long I live for retirement, I'll need at least $250,000 to pay medical bills. And that's above and beyond, I'm not on Medicare yet, but it probably will be. And that's above and beyond that. And I went, what a pile of crap.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to make the determination that
it's $25,000 a year for 10 years.
Yeah, and I have two friends that passed away this year from cancer. They both had insurance. They've both been fighting this, one for a year and one for 5 years. And again, all it did was extend their life by a minimal amount of time for the money that was spent on them. And, I mean, I know people at even younger ages who are having medical problems, and they still continue to smoke. They still continue to carry extra weight. Mm. And you just can't use the government to take care of your problems. You need to take care of them yourself. That's my big issue.
Yeah.
And on another note, did you see the deal on Channel 7 about ice dams on roofs?
I did.
I removed the bottom 2 feet of snow on my roof about 2 to 3 weeks ago when I noticed it was doing that.
Yep.
And that's the best cure you can do, because then the sun hits the shingles and it starts the melting process early, and you don't have a dam to catch all that future ice and water.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. But, all right, Steve.
Hey, go shovel some snow, Paul J.
Oh, I will. Just wait until I got a wife who shovels a lot of snow. I'll tell you what, she's awesome. All right, thanks, Steve. We're going to have to take a break here. John, I want you to stay on the line. We don't really have time to talk to you before the break at the bottom of the hour. John wants to talk more about snow removal.
Mm-hmm.
And
it does seem to be on people's minds.
Well, what's affecting people today? The weather.
Quickly here, Patrick of Caldwell says, morning, guys. I'm sick of hearing about budgets. They say the same thing every year after year. Use the rainy day funds to hire contractors to deal with the yearly unforeseen snow. Of course, that will never happen because there is no profit in solutions. the way they will justify raising taxes is to maintain the problem.
No, Craig Quintana said they are hiring private contractors, but he said the problem is they have to do their private contracting
right
before they can help ACHD.
I do like
they have hired six big road graders.
I do like the concept, though, of clearing the snow by using the rainy day fund.
Yeah. The rain would clear the snow if we could only get the rain. 926. Hey, it's a brand new month at
yes,
Rock and Armor. And Tam and I were there. We slipped around because of the holiday. Now we're in front of you.
Yeah, exactly.
So we got to bring in the new month.
We normally work out there on Mondays and Wednesdays, but the last couple of weeks it's been Wednesdays and Fridays.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got holidays.
Yeah, we're on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
You know, we're into our New Year's resolution thing early. I mean, I've been saying for 2 months that the reason we were going to Rock and Armor is we decided to
kick it off early.
Beat the rush and start our New Year's resolution early. Now, if you didn't do that, if you're just getting to your New Year's resolutions right now, you can drop weight or get in shape or feel better. All these things are thanks to the folks at Rockin' Armor in Meridian.
And as you can tell, Chris and I are not cover boys for physical. Stop laughing, Todd. I'll come over there and kick your fanny with my newly found muscles.
Have you ever been on the front of a magazine? Yes, I put one on the floor and stood on it.
Yeah. They tailor your fitness workout weekly on you and what you can do. And one thing I found out at my advanced age is I can do a heck of a lot more than I thought I could.
That's terrific. It's called Rock and Armor Physical Therapy and Life Performance. If you're good at sports, they can make you better. If you are if you're almost in shape, they can get you into terrific shape. If you're woefully out of shape, they can help your health in all sorts of ways.
Yep. Great for anyone, 5 to 95, and everybody in between. Get started now. Call them. Rock and Armor. Jason Ellis and Tim are there, 917-2660. That's 917-2660, Rockin' Armor.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. We got a couple of guys who have been on the phone for eons, including John of Boise. John wants to talk about snow removal, which is uppermost in everyone's mind today. Good morning, John.
Well, it seems to be. You know, I can just say that in the 30 years I've lived in Boise, this is the first time that I've heard this, that the residential streets aren't going to be plowed. We've had years just like this before, and you didn't have the resident your residential street plowed the first day, maybe, or even maybe the second day, but it got plowed. And those plows were going 24 hours a day, as I recall, through all the neighborhoods, and getting everybody at least one or two, you know, getting everybody a plow, and of course keeping the main roads open. Those are the first priorities. But I also recall seeing pickup trucks drive. I think there was one year when it was real bad, worse than it is now, and there were the ACHD hired pickup trucks, and they were going around and plowing, and you know, nothing's going to be perfect. I mean, in this kind of situation, and you know, but to have a policy that you say, nah, we're not going to do it at all. We're not even going to, you know, that to me is not acceptable, because you know, the first job is to keep the roads open and keep the potholes filled. That's your first job.
And yeah, we're going to have potholes this year, too, with all this snow.
That's right, and they're going to have to come around and fill those potholes, because think about the car damage that we're getting right now, you know, suspension, transmissions, because of the extra stress on our vehicles, because the roads aren't plowed. And when, you know, you have them, and when they're not plowed, then that snow turns to ice, and it becomes hard, and you're bumping around in your car. The consequence of not plowing is you have a very difficult road for more than a few days. It's going to probably, you know, it could be weeks before the road, the snow melts, you know, off your road. So they need to make it a first priority, I think. They do a pretty good job on so many things, and this policy has just been a real surprise.
All right, good stuff, John. Thanks for the
call.
All
right. Okay.
When I first lived in Boise in the 60s, 70s, potholes were such a bad problem in the spring, Chris.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I remember State Street over here at 17th and State, where the Albertson store is.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, there would be big stacks, I'm serious, of hubcaps on the side of the road mm-hmm. that had popped off because they hit potholes.
Right.
Potholes were that bad.
Chip sealing
has stopped most of that. So the chip sealing may be a big pain in your butt when they're doing your neighborhood. But I tell you what, it stops the potholes.
I don't remember what year it was. It was probably about 1989 or so. But I think I was going down, not Park Center, but Beacon, mm-hmm. you know, close to Park Center. And there was a huge pothole. I didn't see it. I hit it. And when I got home, I realized that my wheel cover
was gone.
Yeah. And then I thought, well, it's probably all bent up anyway, so I didn't really bother looking for it. The next day, I was going down the same road, and I looked near where the pothole was, and the guy who lived there had taken all of the different hubcaps and wheel covers, and he had about 12 of them, and had lined his flower beds with them. And it really looked pretty cool. But he also said... Yeah, I think he also put out a sign that said, if one of these is yours, feel free to take it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Rich. Rich, good morning.
That guy was a joke. Their plan for the side streets is to let it melt. They're not even trying, even when their trucks are down. They're not even trying. But I wanted to call about the Obamacare. Now, over the past month or so, either you two and Dave or some combination thereof of you, you've all mentioned Obamacare and getting rid of things that you didn't like about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what things would you get rid of?
As far as Obamacare itself goes?
Yes.
What things would I get rid of?
Yes.
I would do something to... And I'm not an expert in this in any stretch of the imagination, but I think the cost of health care due or not due to Obamacare, and I think a lot of it's due to Obamacare, the cost of insurance, the cost of treatment, what I just said a minute ago, you're going to need $250,000 for prescriptions and stuff on top of your Medicare in your years of retirement. That's ludicrous. Nobody has that kind of money. Very few people do. And so my thing basically is bringing down the cost of health care. And if there's a way we can do that in fixing Obamacare, I'm not an expert on Obamacare, but since Obamacare has been in effect, the cost of health care has skyrocketed. And you can say it didn't, Rich, but it has. It has for me, for everybody I know.
It skyrocketed because the economy is improving. Healthcare costs went down at the first. But you still have no solution.
I don't have a solution. I agree.
I mean, it's just that the conservatives had 8 years of nothing but complaining and don't have any idea on how to make it better. That's the hilarious part. How are you going to bring down costs? You can't bring down costs. You get rid of the mandate, then you have to get rid of the coverage for people with pre-existing conditions and children staying on their policies. The 8 years of complaining and no one has a solution on how to do it any better. That's my fault, and it's because they didn't look into what it was when they got it. Obamacare, there's nothing in there that would have made the medical costs go up.
I think what a lot of people are saying, Rich, is not that they haven't been saying for the last 8 years that if I took it over, I could make it better. They're saying that I personally had it better before they even implemented the thing.
That's exactly right.
Well, yeah, some people did, except for the 30 million people that now have, I doubt if anybody had it. I don't think it would have made anything any worse for anybody. I think, insurance and medical costs, you know, the insurance costs all during the 2000s, you guys talked about it all the time, they went up every year. And it's not going up any greater than it ever has. And the people are just complaining about something that they haven't looked into because they have no idea how to make it any better. And you've got like 30 million people that now have health care coverage that didn't have any before, so it's not worse for them.
Well, it's not worse for them. I mean, you can cherry-pick people that it's really helped, and you can cherry-pick people that it really hasn't helped. And, Rich, thanks for the call. One thing And he asked me to basically solve the problem right now with some magic answer. There is no magic answer. It's going to take years to fix this
and
arrive back to some sort of health care in this country.
Also,
it's not going to be immediate.
I think he misspoke a bit because you and I haven't said that we had a list of stuff we'd change about it.
No.
That's what,
I have no clue
that's what Donald Trump said.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I will tell you five things that you may not know about Obamacare.
It's 9:49. Go, Chris, go.
Okay. Five things you may not have known about Obamacare. And I'll just kind of summarize here because we've got some callers on. The first one is it isn't just health insurance. There are other parts of the program. One of the objectives of Obamacare is to encourage doctors to take an active role in keeping people well, and they also have programs that help doctors and hospitals work together to figure out how to do things a little cheaper. And I'm thinking every once in a while you find a doctor who does that. Number two, it's not government insurance. Nobody is being insured by the government. It's private insurance. You just have a better chance if you are, let's say, very poor to get some private insurance.
Well, yeah, and because of the subsidies from the government.
Right. And the third thing is 60% of Americans have insurance through work. Another 16% are on either Medicare or Medicaid. And fewer than 10% of Americans use Obamacare. Number four, there have been several studies that have said that your premiums were going to go up anyway. And that Obamacare really hasn't affected how much your premiums went up because they go up every year. And we knew this before Obamacare.
Yeah, but you know, they've gone up.
Every year we'd have a meeting and they'd say, okay, here's what your insurance will do this year.
True, true.
And the other thing people don't seem to know is that a lot of people in the world consider U.S. health care to be lousy, and that was the case long before Obamacare came along.
True
simply,
stuff.
And simply, it's because of the varying costs of things.
Yeah.
I mean, Americans out of their own pockets last year spent $3.2 trillion on health care.
That's a lot. All right, let's go to Kevin in Meridian wants to talk again about snow removal. Kevin, good morning.
Yeah, that other guy almost makes me want to talk more about health insurance.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing about the snow removal, I've lived here for over 40 years, and I remember as a kid a lot of snow on the side roads. And, I mean, it's a pain, but if you have a proper vehicle and you know how to drive in it, you maybe had some tire chains, yep. That can be a problem. The same people who are complaining so much about this, if the Ada County Highway District says, fine, we'll plow your side roads, but your car's registration all went up $100 a year to register your car, they'd be screaming from the rooftop.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if it's that big of a deal in your neighborhood, get together and call one of these local companies that have the plow trucks and ask them how much they'd charge you to drive through from your house to the major street and plow you a path.
And we've heard of a couple of neighborhoods this morning already who have done that.
You know, to me, that's kind of that's the philosophy of the state of Idaho. I mean, it's more of a personal rights than it is a big government coming in and taking care of you.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, I don't know, it's a little frustrating to me because it's like, you know, you move in here and you want to live here, but yet you want Big Brother to come take care of you. Suck it up, be a big boy, you know, figure it out. I've got an ATV with a snowplow on it, so I can plow up my whole little cul-de-sac and get out to go to work if I want to.
There you are.
But I also have I have vehicles I can get around in this stuff. So
me too.
This ain't California anymore.
Good stuff. Thanks, Kevin. I like that call a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Terry of Boise. Terry.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
This is about Obamacare. You keep hearing how the Republicans have no plan. Oh, that's so silly. There's like 40-some different plans the Republicans have. But what's really sad is how things have changed with the onset of Obamacare. Yes, it's not government insurance, but what has happened is that, for example, my husband's Fortune 500 company, they have thrown us onto Obamacare because they... A lot of employers have done this, where they now don't have to cover you, so they can have you go to the other plans, and that's what they did. Also, the costs and the premiums, you just read a thing about how they have gone up. They've gone up a a huge amount. It's an incredible amount, and they would not have gone up that much before. So what they could have done at the beginning, instead of doing all this, and they know it, is Obamacare covers, you are right, a lot more than just health. It's really a power grab of your whole life. Karl Marx said you can control everyone if you just control health insurance, and that's because it touches everything in your life. But anyway, what they could have done is easy, and they all know it, and that is they could have covered just the poor. Would have been a lot cheaper than throwing everybody's health insurance through their employers out of whack.
Yeah, I've actually seen...
There's a program called the Katie Beckett program that for even kids who are wealthy, if they're really disabled and it's a huge amount of cost for them, I know because I have two disabled kids, the Katie Beckett program covered them. And all I had to do is extend a Katie Beckett-like thing for the working poor and the poor, and we would have been done. See?
All right. Good stuff.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call. And I don't know if I saw the same Katie Beckett program or not, but
yeah.
I did see a thing a couple, three, 4 years ago where basically what you just said, you cover the people who didn't have insurance and left the people who did have insurance alone.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a lot cheaper. But it's been a while since I've seen that stuff.
I kind of think that's what Medicaid is was.
at one point.
Let's see, quickly here, Dave of Boise says, why on earth would you not want a better insurance plan? No one is taking insurance away from the folks that want it. Donald just wants to make it better. I personally hope it means he will stop finding the folks like me that cannot afford it. Even better, make it so I can afford it. Why can't it be more like auto insurance with a super low deductible and a basic cheap plan for people like me?
You know, apparently, if you can't afford it, you should be able to get subsidies from the government. I don't know. Hard to say. It'll be interesting to see what happens. It's going to be a while before we get this sorted out. It's 9:55.